Hello, and welcome to Greg and Katie's Epic Movie Collection, the podcast, where we review and discuss movies from our ever-growing collection. My name is Greg.
And I'm Katie. Today we'll be discussing the 2011 film Bridesmaids.
I'm engaged!
Oh my god!
He asked me last night!
What is happening?
So will you be my maid of honor?
Of course I will!
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
No, just whatever. Throw the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
In the shower and...
Oh my god.
Let's go meet the rest of the bridal party.
Come on.
You have to punch it a couple times.
You remember my cousin Rita? They just bought a new house. It is gorgeous.
I wouldn't know. I only see the kitchen and the laundry room and the ceiling in my bedroom. Sometimes the floor.
This is Becca from work.
This is your husband?
Oh, no, I don't know him. I'm single.
I was so distraught when I was single. And I'm fine being by myself.
Oh, Becca.
This is Dougie's sister, Megan.
You must be Annie's fella.
I'm not with him.
I'm glad he's single, because I'm going to climb that like a tree.
You have to meet Helen.
You're so pretty.
So cute.
Did you come from work?
What are we doing for the bachelorette party?
What about like a princess theme?
Versace meets the gold rush.
I'm thinking tanned gentlemen that swallow fire and wear sarongs.
Female fight club. We grease up.
Surprise!
Beat the crap out of her.
I don't hate it.
Vegas it is.
I had a dream last night that we went down.
Oh, God.
You were in it.
What?
Excuse me, ma'am. Please return to your seat.
She's not great at flying.
I have something that might help you relax.
I'm ready to party.
Oh, yeah.
You should come to Lillian's wedding with me.
No.
Oh, this is some classy...
Megan.
I'm sorry, I want to apologize. I'm not even confident of which end that came out of.
So this movie's about Annie Walker. She's a single woman in her mid-30s living in Milwaukee. After the failure of her bakery due to the recession, her boyfriend leaves her and she loses all of her money. She's barely making enough money to get by and learns that her best friend Lillian is engaged and asks her to be the maid of honor in her wedding. So let's dive in.
Yeah, so Katie and I have been really excited to rewatch this movie. I know when was the last time we watched this for the...
Well, it was for our Epic Movie Collection thing.
And that was probably like a couple years ago, right? Because we've had a couple ruts here and there.
Well, it was BR, so actually, I don't think it was that long ago, but it was probably at least a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been excited to watch this, but... Going in, we knew that this doing a podcast, since it got so many likes, would be a little difficult just because I know that there's probably not a lot of pre-production. I mean, and there wasn't. We did some research. Not a lot of production or casting notes. Little things here and there that we picked up. But I think instead of having them in their own sections, we just sort of interject them as we discuss the movie, because... Most of this is going to be us discussing our favorite scenes, which is like pretty much the entire movie. There's not a dead scene for us.
This is definitely one of my top 15 favorite movies, I would say, of all time.
So enjoy the next hour or so of Katie and I just laughing at the scenes from this movie. Opening scene, it just jumps right into it. Sex scene with John Hamm.
Yep.
Who goes uncredited, or you can talk a little bit about that. And Kristen Wiig with just the expressions alone. I mean, they don't even have to say anything. That first, like, 5 minutes is hilarious of this movie.
Just the facial expressions and...
Yeah.
So, it was interesting, actually. John Hamm... And I even remember when I saw this in theaters, and because I'd watched Mad Men, like a lot of people, and loved Don Draper so much. And when I saw him in this, I was like really surprised because he's in such a different like role than he is in Mad Men or anything else you've seen him in. And he actually chose to go uncredited for the movie, even though he's, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't call him a main character, but
he's in it.
He's in more than like four scenes of this movie.
He influences actions that move the story in this movie. So yeah, he's a character.
And he went uncredited because he felt like he didn't want to affect the chances of the movie's success, because he didn't want people to see his name in the credits and be like, oh, is this a serious movie, and not go see it. Yeah. So that's
so weird.
Yeah.
He is hilarious. I mean, I don't hate his character. He's an asshole, but he steals every scene. It's like, I wanted more John Hamm scenes.
Yeah. Was it, you're no longer my number three?
When she's like leaving too and gets stuck on the fence. Like, always funny to me. I did notice in the background there is a guy walking a dog, and the dog is just lying in the middle of the street, which I noticed for the first time watching it.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. That was funny.
Very quick.
Yeah, and then we meet Maya Rudolph's character, who's Kristen Wiig's best friend.
Yeah, and the cafe scene
with
them is perfect.
Yeah, it's so basically they're like just having girl talk, catching up about their lives. It's much like, I don't know, like any close girlfriends that, you know, don't see each other every day and like get together and you're just like talking about everything that's going on in your life. And I don't know, the whole scene seemed
it's very genuine
and accurate and hilarious.
Well, they are friends in real life, or like long friends.
Yeah.
I guess. So they just said, like, most of this scene, they just set up and just were like, all right, we just have them talk for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't they just, like, improv for, like, 2 hours? And then they just filmed it, and they ended up taking it from that. Yeah, it was just so, it's such an accurate way that, I don't know. This whole movie is, there's some that's slapstick and, like, not, obviously, like, you know, some parts of it that are outrageous, but a lot of it is very accurate to how like girls actually are. And I just love, I don't know, I love everything about this movie. But that scene is one of my favorites.
From there, we learn where Kristen Wiig works at Koladeckis, the jewelry store run by Michael Hitchcock.
You remember the name of it?
I did, because they have a commercial on the DVD for it where they do, I think I showed you it. Yeah, where they do all the like fake commercial Koladeckis.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Hitchcock, he's some great scenes in there. The show us your love is eternal face.
Yeah. Kahlua.
Yeah, Kahlua.
Don't sue me for touching you.
Yeah. And we find out her mom is his sponsor.
Yeah, that's the only reason she got the job. Which, you made up a good point. Like, if she owned her own bakery and was a success, I mean, obviously she's a successful baker, why didn't she get a job in a bakery?
Exactly.
Or, like, cooking or doing something like that? Why did she have to scramble to get a job working at a jewelry store, like, that she got from her mom's referral?
Yeah. Well, from what you said, it seems like the whole movie, she's just like, doesn't want to bake anymore, which is, I understand, but it's like, all right, well, you're starving and you'd rather work in a jewelry store than bake again. I mean,
yeah,
it seemed like it was very traumatic, like extremely traumatic for her. And we didn't really see all of that, but I mean, it's supposed to be a comedy. It has to be light.
Yeah. Then we get to see her apartment where she lives with Rebel Wilson and Matt Lucas. First we're introduced with Rebel Wilson on the couch watching Maury.
Yeah.
And she
before
shows
before she
up.
Got big. There's so many big names in
here. She was like,
this was kind of like her big thing, right?
Yeah, this was the first time I saw her in anything. Yeah.
And did you have any casting notes about her?
I did, actually. There were two sources for this. One source said that she got paid $3,000. Another source says $3,500, but either way, she got paid around $3,000 for her work in this movie, which, I mean, she's in a few scenes. I would have thought she'd get paid more, but I think it was because she was, you know, not well known at the time.
Yeah. Wow, so they did that whole makeup for her, the whole tattoo, the
drinking
worm. Oh, yeah,
the Mexican drinking worm.
It's like the Native American Native American symbol for wasted.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Matt Lucas, the other roommate,
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, it's supposed to be her brother. I guess after the movie ended, they became roommates in real life. Roommates,
yeah.
Did you read that too?
I heard about that.
Yeah. Thought that was interesting. She actually initially went out for the role of Megan. Melissa McCarthy's role. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they liked her so much that they created that role for her of the roommate. Because I think it was initially just supposed to be Matt Lucas only or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So that was my introduction to Rebel Wilson.
And then all the scenes with them are great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's not...
Really good dynamic they have.
I read that really sad handwritten book. You read by Dyer.
And so that's kind of our introduction to Kristen Wiig's life.
Yeah. She's not in a good spot.
Yeah. And then from
other than John Hamm, other than hooking up with John Hamm, the rest of her life kind of sucks.
I guess, but he's kind of a dick. He didn't even open the gate for her. She had to climb the gate. Oh, yeah. And then his line, he's like, I want you to leave, but I don't know how to say it without sounding like a dick. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's kind of setting up. So we've set up now Kristen Wiig's life, and now we start the story.
Yeah, where Maya Rudolph calls her over and tells her that she's engaged. Kristen Wiig freaks out.
Well, she's like... She's happy for her, but also kind of, I don't know. I've been in that spot a lot. I don't want to like throw you under the bus or anything, but I've been in that in a different way though. Kristen Wiig's in it in a way that's like, she's not even anywhere close to where Lillian is or Maya Rudolph's character is in her life, you know, like she's like, they're drifting so far apart and it's sad, but she also has to act like she's happy for her at the same time. And she is happy for her. And it's like, it's this weird sort of awkward laugh, like cry.
So you think thing. She nails it? Cause it is very weird. Yeah. The like laugh cry thing was like, what is this reaction right now?
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, I don't know. It was like every time I'd hear about my friends getting engaged, just like, oh yeah, I'm so happy for you. When is it my turn?
Anyway, next scene, quickly, next scene.
That's basically like setting up now the whole story.
Yeah, the kickoff to a ridiculous wedding where it's at
Wayne Manor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
from the Batman TV show. Full circle.
Yeah, come full circle. We're already linking up. Taking it from the MCU. We're building a universe.
Yep. So we go to the country club.
So it's a country club. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was somebody's house or something like that.
No.
Okay.
What? No. So all the bridesmaids, we meet them all. First, we meet Rita.
Played by Wendy McGlendon Covey from Reno 911.
Yeah.
She's
Lillian's cousin.
That's it.
So,
yeah. She's great in this movie. Her and Ellie Kemper's, like, scenes are...
They're, like, complete extreme opposites. Like, Rita's, like, you know... She's been married for a long time, has like three boys, house full of boys, just like fucking over it.
Yeah.
And then we meet Becca, who's Ellie Kemper's character, and she is like bright-eyed, newlywed.
Like, married to a gay guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like weird Disney people. No offense.
I do want to talk about the scenes in where... Every guy that's standing next to Kristen Wiig is like mistaken for her husband.
That's honestly one of my favorite parts in this entire movie.
Yeah.
Is like, is this your fella? I like, yeah. You want to go for a walk later? Yeah.
A walk?
I can't. Sorry. I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Melissa McCarthy's character holding that huge, like a fruit punch in a, all the fruit in her drink.
That was also my, like, the first thing I'd ever seen her in, too. Melissa McCarthy. And I remember thinking, mm-hmm. like, I want to watch everything that she is in. Like,
yeah.
This woman is amazing. And she, apparently, for this character, we heard in the commentary, and then I also read about, she actually wanted her character to look exactly like Guy Fieri from Diners, Drive-Ins. Yeah. What is it?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah.
Which, but, she nailed it with those shirts. So the shirts are exactly what
they only let her get away with the shirts, pretty much. But she was like, I want the spiky hair and the glasses on the back of my head. And they're like, I think the director was like, Melissa, you can't be exactly Guy Fieri in this movie. But yeah, that was interesting to learn. It totally comes off.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to be Doug's sister. So husband's sister, fiance's sister.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then lastly, Rose Byrne is introduced. And she's wearing, like, this ridiculous
gown,
black gown in the middle of the afternoon. It's like an afternoon engagement party,
mm-hmm.
which that's why I thought it was her house. Cause I was like, oh, okay, you'd only wear a gown like that at her house. So she brought that gown to an outside event.
It wasn't outside.
Or I mean, not an, like, she went to an event in a ball gown, like an engagement party in a ball gown.
It was fancy, but yeah, she was way overdressed and like, she's just very like,
yeah, but her character ridiculous. Is great. It is perfect.
They weren't sure about her, I guess, when they went to cast her.
Well, this was before Get Him to the Greek, right? Pretty sure.
No, it was after.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Get Him to the Greek was 2010.
Oh, okay.
So it was just after, but everything before that, I think, was pretty, like, pretty serious role. I don't think she was, like, really known to be, like, a improv comedy actress or anything.
Yeah. But she is a great, like, serious actress.
Yeah.
Actor.
I feel like they really nailed that whole, like, I don't know, like, when she introduces them and there's like this weird merging of girlfriends that happens when like one of your friends gets married, that it's like it's never gonna be smooth. I mean, it can be, but it's always a little awkward because it's like, they're my best friend, like how do you know her, like what, like you don't know these things, like it's a very, like, women are very possessive and jealous, yeah. like by nature, and so this whole like dynamic was like just really funny to see played out on screen.
That's funny. I mean, yeah, I'm glad I have you to give this insight because I didn't get any of that from these scenes, but now that you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, that is like...
Well, yeah, the whole like when they go to give the speech and...
Oh yeah, the speech. Was that at this scene where that happens?
Yeah, it's at the end of the engagement party when she's like, oh, the maid of honor, give a speech. And then Kristen Wiig goes up there and it's like, I don't want to be talking for very long, you know, cheers, whatever. And then Rose Byrne goes up and tries to like one up her. And then they just keep going back and forth, fighting for the mic to like try and like one up each other.
Which we're not going to try and recreate any of that. But that whole scene is, yeah, you need to see the whole movie. But yeah, that scene is great.
Yeah. May or may not have seen that play out in real life as well. And then that's pretty much like the highlights of the engagement party.
Yeah, and then we set up the meet cute.
Yeah.
Annie's gets pulled over by Chris O'Dowd leaving the party.
Uh-huh. Which,
with his Irish accent.
Yeah.
Cake baby.
Don't.
Your cake baby.
No, don't do it. Don't. get out of here. I was confused, though. You made a good point, and I wrote it down. She does the whole DUI thing, or he makes her do, like, the DUI thing. And she's like, no, see, I'm not drunk. I haven't been drinking. But she was drinking. She was drinking at the engagement party. Liar. She had wine in her hand.
Liar.
So that part was kind of weird. Her. Obviously, she wasn't like
red-handed.
She wasn't belligerent or anything, but but then she goes home after that. Oh wait, so he decides not to give her a ticket, right? Because he finds out that she's from Cake Baby.
Yeah. You're Cake Baby.
Don't say it again.
Cake Baby.
Don't stop. Oh my God.
Yeah. And doesn't give her the ticket, says get your taillights fixed.
Yeah.
The metaphor for this movie. Get your shit together.
Yeah. Basically. And then she goes home and bakes one cupcake for some reason.
Yeah.
A singular.
Which we knew going in, but we also learned while watching the commentary that it's not Kristen Wiig's hands.
Yeah.
Making that cupcake.
It was funny watching the commentary and every like cut to the B-roll, she would just be like, not my hands.
Not my hands.
Not my hands. So like every close-up shot of her baking anything is not her hands, which is interesting.
Yeah, I figured like there was some stuff she could have done, like none of it was super technical. Like she could have placed a flower on the cupcake.
Well, I think those shots just like, you know, it's not like you like they were framed.
That's
stuff.
True. That was shot like on another day with another team. Yeah.
So that would have been like a lot of work for her to just be there for that. Like,
yeah,
that's not like really her.
I just thought there was an off chance because nothing that the hands were doing was that
well maybe
skilled.
Her hands aren't like pretty.
Like it was like little brushes like oh maybe yeah she could have done that
maybe she bites her nails like I do and like they're all shitty that's why they didn't want to use her hands.
They would pay for her to get her hands like manicured.
Hmm.
This is exciting stuff.
Yep.
So what happens next? Oh yeah, she meets up with her with Rose Byrne because Maya Rudolph wants her to become friends or at least be cordial with each other.
Yeah, that backfires.
And yeah, the tennis match.
Yeah, they play tennis
with Steve Carell's wife and another actress who I'm not familiar.
Wait,
with.
Wait, that's Steve Carell's wife? Which
she
one?
She was on Rose Byrne's team.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
She's in The Office. She, one of his love interests in The Office. I forget her name.
Okay.
People are probably screaming her name right now.
Yeah. After the tennis match, she goes back to her apartment and has this talk with her roommates about trying to get Rebel Wilson to start paying rent because Annie can't. She obviously is like not doing well money wise. And so they're having an argument about that. And then also something I noticed and I noticed it at this part, but I'm pretty sure it was up until now. Kristen Wiig is always wearing this like blazer t-shirt combo and it's very 2011. Like I don't know, and there's a lot of belts. There's just so many things that like are of the time. When I go to watch it now, it's like I used to wear blazers over t-shirts all the time. It's like that's her entire style in the whole movie. I don't know if there's a single scene where she's not wearing a blazer over top of a dress or a t-shirt or like something. It's like weird.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and you're right. That's her look.
That's her look. Yeah. Yeah, so then that backfires because Rebel Wilson's
only allowed to tour.
She's only allowed to tour.
I'm going to do everyone's accent in this movie.
Yes. Here, let me get you some more wine.
Hello, boys. Come have by Mick. Come stick your American sausage in my English McMuffin.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the Brazilian lunch. Yeah, so it's the first meeting of the bridesmaids.
Yeah, right? Like one-on-one to where they're all together planning. Yeah. And Annie, since she's the maid of honor, she decides to take them to this hole-in-the-wall Brazilian lunch place that
has a stray dog that walks by them as they're entering.
And Melissa McCarthy's fucking sprinting.
Yeah. You know, Russia, I mean, that it's like so perfect. Like the restaurant that looks like as you're walking in is the back entrance of a restaurant. Like,
but it's the front.
But it's the front. It's like, oh, that's when...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have lunch and then afterwards go to a dress fitting to pick their bridal or their bridesmaids' dresses, which doesn't usually happen.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Every time I've seen this movie, I was like, is that really how it's done? You eat before you go to a fitting? Because that seems like...
Well, no, usually you eat after the fitting, but that's not the part that I'm saying doesn't happen.
Uh-oh.
The part that doesn't happen is you usually don't let your bridesmaids pick their dresses. I mean, I don't know. Like, for me, I gave my bridesmaids options of dresses, but they all had the same color. Like, they were picking out the whole, like, the color and the kind of dress and everything. Like, it was really weird to me, but... But yeah, so they went to this fancy schmancy dress shop.
Kristen Wiig chose, even though she's poor, or even though she's like struggling financially.
Well, it's I don't even know.
Something Lady Juju or something, right?
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's the name of the dress. The name of the place is different.
Saint Francois to do. I don't know. I don't know, but they make it in because Rose Byrne knows everybody fancy, so they let him in. But yeah, I don't know. I think she chose that place because Lillian's really into like French stuff, so she wanted it to be like designer or whatever. I think she's just doing her best.
Fair enough.
And then they're looking at the bridesmaids' dresses. One of them is $800, which
everyone was completely fine with, which is not real life.
That's crazy. Like, 200 tops. I don't know of anybody paying
for something you're going to wear once.
Yeah. Like,
for someone else's wedding, not even your wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous too.
And then the infamous scene. They all end up surprised. They get food poisoning from the Brazilian place.
Except for Rose Byrne, who...
Yeah, like, she didn't eat any of the meat.
Yeah, she noticed when they were going to a restaurant with no windows to not eat there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and so they all, like, almost immediately, actually, when they walk in there, they start feeling sick, you can tell.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, the build-up... of all of that was the Jordan almonds, the sweating scene.
That's by far one of the best scenes too.
Yeah.
Is like they're all throwing up.
We watched this twice, once with the commentary and then a couple of days later just normal, and both times I was cracking up even though I couldn't even hear what was happening. It was just the visual of her sweating face and choking on the almond was the best.
Like, but a Jordan almond, that's just, like, the worst freaking thing when you're feeling nauseous. Like, I can't even imagine. And then, like, the crunch in her face just feels like she's dying. Yeah. So, I learned something interesting about the scenes in the bathroom, like, when they're throwing up. The vomit is actually... oatmeal and food coloring, in case you're wondering.
It was gross.
Yeah, it looked
very realistic.
It was chunky. Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah. And then shitting in the street.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we when we were watching this with commentary, we learned that the scenes where Maya Rudolph, or the scenes where she's walking into the street, is a body double, which I thought was weird because it didn't seem like a stunt sort of thing. But as they're pointing it out, Maya Rudolph in the commentary is like, you can tell which scenes are the stunt double if you just look at her arms. It's just like, there's me and then a back shot and like the arms of like
super ripped,
like, oh my god, like American Ninja Warrior status. I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, what, how have I not noticed the ripped actress, who's also, they said, Angelina Jolie's stunt double.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
That's funny. I just want to pause here and make note. I meant to say it earlier, but Maya Rudolph is totally pregnant throughout the filming of this movie.
And, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's
yeah. Right. And I read that before we watched it again and actually like looked, and there are some scenes where you can kind of tell, but if you guys ever watch it in the future, to just notice how many times they belt her dresses and stuff, which actually was a total thing. I mean, like, I was in college at the time that this movie came out, and that was all that we did with our dresses. just
belt them.
Slap a belt on it. But it was to take away from the baby bump, so.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell. I mean, even after we learned about that, I was, like, watching for it, and I was like, you know what? I can't tell that she's, like, there's nothing.
The engagement party scene, I can tell.
Okay.
There's a couple scenes where she's kind of, like, holding her stomach like pregnant women do.
Okay. I didn't notice. If yeah. they were there, they were very quick.
But, yeah, they hit it pretty well. And also, just crazy, I always forget about it, but her husband is Paul Thomas Anderson. It's so weird.
Yeah, I know, right?
Their little baby.
That's going to be a funny, artsy baby.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he put her in one of his movies? Has she been in a Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
I don't think so, but I mean...
Maybe they don't want to work together.
She's not really... Yeah, they probably don't want to work together. And they're also kind of two different genres. I mean, he does sort of comedy, but it's more alt comedy. It's not like...
Well, she's alt comedy, too. I would say he's more like artsy
comedy. She's more like
comedy.
Improv stuff, though.
But all comedy can be put in with improv sometimes.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Let's just spend the rest of the 30 minutes talking
about... Let's describe
about...
in detail what alt comedy means to us.
Yeah, so then...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just after that scene, she decides to go have sex with Ted again, with John Hamm, which
yeah.
I thought was weird, because she was obviously, like, had food poisoning, and then she decides that she wants to go...
Yeah.
Do that? I don't know. I would probably go home and, like...
And she even said later on when... But later on in the movie, she shit herself that day.
Yeah.
So she's like, she shit herself, and then let's go see John Hamm.
Yeah. Yeah, you made a good point about this whole next scene. I think what happened was, because John Hamm doesn't like her staying the night, obviously, from their previous encounter. So I think what happened was, is they hooked up, and then she left at like 2 or 3 a.m. or something like that, went to a gas station to pick up something, I don't know, some comfort juice.
Yeah.
And ran into Chris O'Dowd, cop character. And then it transitions into morning time. So it's like, it's kind of confusing because it's like, oh, wait, was it night? And now it's morning. But I think it was just really late night. And that's...
She had a long day. She was up all day.
That's what I'm saying. What? You had food poisoning.
Food poisoning. Shit yourself. Went and had makeup sex. Then you spent all night talking, and then woke and then stayed up till the morning the next day and was helping him like catch speeders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long, crazy day.
Kristen Wiig can
rally.
Shit and rally.
And mid 30s. I'm not even in my mid 30s yet, and that sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then you made mention of what Chris O'Dowd was buying in the gas station.
Oh yeah, the gas station food. This is the first time that I was watching and I was like, "You know what? What is he eating?" And I was looking and it was like a beef jerky stick. A bowl of ramen noodles, a bag of carrots, and a coffee, I think.
Yeah.
Just the most random assortment of food. And then I also, watching the commentary, heard them talk about the special carrot, which I've never seen in a bag of carrots. And if I ever saw one, I for sure threw that one away.
Yeah.
I don't even take any chances with that.
Yeah, it's gross.
But anyway, apparently when they filmed the scene... they didn't have an actual ugly carrot in the bag. So they went to the makeup department and had them put white makeup on this carrot to make it look like the ugly carrot in a bag.
Huh.
And no one told Chris O'Dowd that they did that. And he was, and so they were talking about like this carrot and how like, you know, this is supposed to be a special carrot. He's like, oh, what? I'll eat it. And he ate it and he immediately.
Oh my God.
They were just like, yeah, no one told Chris that it had makeup on it.
That's so funny. I didn't read that.
Yeah. Watching the second time, you can definitely notice, though, that I was like, oh, yeah, that is makeup on a carrot. Like, that totally is not whatever weird carrots are in a bag.
Yeah, they
didn't look like it.
You've seen one, haven't you? They're, like, whitish.
Are they in every bag?
I don't think so.
Yeah. See, that's the part where I was like, okay, I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah. I did notice something, because we watched it twice in a row. She sits in the passenger seat in the cop car in this scene. But then later on in the movie at the end, he won't let her sit in the passenger's side.
Well, that was like a...
Was it a joke?
I think that was a joke.
At the end of the movie. Okay.
Yeah, he was like joking.
Okay. I guess it went over my head.
He has to get back at her somehow.
Ah, I get it. Okay. So after they have their talks with the carrots and...
they catch the speeder.
Yeah, they go and Chris O'Dowd lets her, like, do the speed... What is that thing called? The
radar gun.
Radar gun. And so it's like a cute little, you know... He's, like, showing
it's her authentic.
How to... He's mansplaining how to shoot a radar gun. And then... And then that's pretty much the end of that scene, and we cut now to her planning the bachelorette party, which was actually... So this scene was funny at the time when I saw this movie first, was at my sister's bachelorette party. Shout out to Christy if you're listening to this. And her bachelorette party was actually in a cabin in Tahoe. And so in the movie, that's what she's planning, is a similar bachelorette party. And then I think it's Rose Byrne's character says, like, a cabin, that, like, is, like, talking shit about it. And, like, all of us were looking at each other just laughing because it was, like, that was exactly what we were doing. but yeah, what's her name? Helen.
Yeah.
Rose Byrne. Ends up making everyone convince her to do it.
I don't think you ever have to convince. If someone's really pushing Vegas for a bachelor or bachelor party, it's pretty much going to just scale that way unless no one can go.
Well, Kristen Wiig, like, didn't have a lot of money. You could see, like...
Well, yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying, yeah.
That was her, I think, deterrent from going. But yeah, they make... That ends up being what happens, but they don't get past the plane, spoiler alert,
which is... Oh, yeah, I actually saw a...
Yeah,
oh.
You read it, too?
Okay.
You should say it. No, it's interesting. You should say it.
So I did read an interesting thing about this scene in particular. They decide that they want to go to Vegas, so there's a scene where they get on a plane, they're about to go, but the thing is... The Hangover had just come out, I think, like a year or two before, and Judd Apatow didn't want to do a Vegas scene again because it was, like, too soon, like, mm-hmm. and too close in comedy, like, to that movie. So Kristen Wiig had to write a scene, like, last minute that she had to come up with to make it so that they didn't go to Vegas. And that's how they came up with the... Or she came up with the scene where she... Like takes
gets kicked off the plane.
Yeah, she gets kicked off the plane because she mixes alcohol and Helen gives her like a Xan, some sort of something that makes her go off the deep end. I don't know if they explain what that was.
I think it was supposed to be a Xanax, but
it was supposed to be a Xanax, but that wasn't. Was that a Xanax?
Well, she also like gave her a full glass of scotch and like pounded it. But I read that too. I thought it was funny because it was like he didn't want it to be perceived as the female hangover. But then I remember when this movie came out, and that's what everybody referred it to. I was like, oh, have you seen Bridesmaids? It's like the female version of The Hangover. And it's just funny because it's like...
They tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they wanted was the female hangover.
But it's the same. I mean, it's the same. It's not the same, but it's centered around a wedding. So it's like, yeah. Of course, it's going to be sort of similar.
Well, because that's like the biggest wedding movie in recent memory.
Yeah.
Next to Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the I could basically just recreate that scene on the plane with her. Just the...
Let's not. The bitchiest quote probably that any woman, and there are women that say things like this, and I've heard it before and it makes me cringe every time, is when Rose Byrne comes up to her and gives her the scotch and she's like, here, this will just give it the little kick it needs, like the pill that she gives her to like relax. And she's like, trust me, it'll work, and I'm smaller than you, so you'll be fine. I actually think she says, I'm much smaller than you.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
So bitchy.
Yeah, there are a couple cameos here,
it's fine.
There are a few cameos in the plane scene also. Annie Mamolo, who is, other than Kristen Wiig, the other writer of this movie, is the woman that sits next to Kristen Wiig on the plane and freaks out.
Yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy sits next to a guy that she claims is a, not TSA.
Air Marshal.
An Air Marshal.
Air Marshal John.
Air Marshal John. And played by her husband, her in real life husband.
Yeah. Hey, not Air Marshal John, you want to go to the restroom and not rest? Yeah, I like love her character so much. Yeah, so after Helen gives Kristen Wiig the pill and she pounds the scotch that she gives her, Kristen Wiig just gets like unbelievably wasted and is like keeps going to the front of the plane because everybody else is in first class except for her. She's the only one in coach, and it ends up getting her kicked off the plane because she's just like being ridiculous. Yeah. Like the best part, I think, and I don't even know if I
go for it.
I just love the part when she's talking to Lillian and Helen and they're talking about like they're going to go to this restaurant and Helen knows the owners. And she's like, oh, do you? Like mocking her.
Yeah, to her face. Oh, yeah.
That's like the best. Like, yes.
They should be open because it's civil rights.
This is the 90s.
The 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then, of course, the infamous meme, the help me, I'm help poor. Me that's just like, that whole scene is
Stove.
Improv. Yeah.
What kind of a name is Stove?
What are you, an appliance? That's like improv gold. Like the majority of this movie is, but that...
Yeah, those scenes are great. So Kristen Wiig gets kicked off the plane. They have to land in Wyoming, and they take him in. So everyone's trip is ruined. They have to take a bus back. But I did notice in this scene, as they're coming in with Kristen Wiig in handcuffs, they pass by a metal detector thing, and there are like four or five TSA agents at the like Wyoming airport, like... the least amount of security needed for airport, but it's like they're maxed out in Wyoming.
That's funny.
I just thought it was funny. I was like, this is an active airport.
Yeah, so they end up having to take a bus back home, and Lillian basically demotes
her
maid of honor duties, which is kind of messed up, I thought. I don't know.
She's losing her shit.
Yeah, but I mean... you've chosen her as your maid of honor. You can't really take that back just because... it's not like anything that happened was like, you know, like she did it on purpose.
But. I guess.
So after the bus scene and she gets demoted from maid of honor, she drives out to meet Officer Rhodes and finally invites him out on a date to go to a bar. And that's where she vents to him. Yeah, that's like their first official date and where she vents to him about all her problems. And
which he kind of downplays, like, what? Like, it's not a big deal. You got kicked off of a plane. And I was like, well, that is kind of a big deal. I don't know too many people have been kicked off a plane before.
And you're a police officer, too. Like, red flags
that's
here.
No fly list there.
Yeah. Well, really?
Well, I don't know. It depends.
Okay. Well, so then they sleep together.
From what I read in the DVD commentary, we were supposed to notice how she was not wearing a bra.
Yeah.
The next morning.
Yeah, she wore a bra every time she was having sex with Ted and then John Hamm. And then the time when she sleeps with Officer Rhodes, she doesn't have a bra on, which is supposed to symbolize her, like, letting her guard down or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then he brings her coffee in bed.
Mm-hmm. Gets her the baking stuff, and yeah. She turns him down.
It's so nice. Yeah, and then she's like, no. I don't want to bake today. I also wrote under this part, I just wrote so many blazers. I just want to note that.
She's got a collection of blazers.
She's wearing another blazer over top of a t-shirt. Then she gets the invitation to the shower.
She goes home and gets the huge box. Terrifying for you.
Oh my God.
A live... what is it, like a monarch butterfly?
Yeah.
In the invitation box.
Yeah, she opens the box up and a butterfly just jumps out. I would
make
run
a
out.
Note, not everyone loves butterflies.
I would run out my front door and down the street. Shit's terrifying. So yeah, this is just spirals. She just spirals. This is like her rock bottom. She then gets fired from her job.
Yeah, she calls, what's his name? Peter Frampton?
Yeah, it's Peter Frampton's
Peter
daughter.
Peter Frampton's daughter, the C word, and gets fired. In a good exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then she has to move in with her mom. She gets kicked out of her apartment.
Also, by the way, her mom, played by Jay Clayburgh, I think that's... Jill Clayburgh.
Yeah.
It was her last movie. She died. And she never got to see the final cut of this movie.
Yeah, sad. So sad.
And then basically the next scene you see her... You see them at the bridal shower, which is at Helen's house. Helen Harris III.
which is also a mansion, which on par with like... where they had the engagement party, which is why I thought it was the same house.
It's not. And do you know what that house is from?
Scary Movie
2.
Scary Movie 2.
Yeah. The exterior of it. It's just ridiculous. They have horses ride them in. They
fresh
have,
pink lemonade.
Yeah. And they have, their party favors are puppies.
Yeah. Golden Retriever puppies.
Yeah. And basically the... You know, when they're at the lunch date, the Brazilian place, they're pitching ideas, and the bridal shower ends up being exactly what Kristen Wiig pitched as an idea for the bridal shower. And so Helen basically copied her, and it was just a big fuck you to her. And so she obviously loses it, has a big mental breakdown. And then...
which is great.
Yeah.
Watching it twice in a row, it doesn't get all this first... Yeah. After the first time, it's...
That fucking cookie. Yeah, and then...
Yeah, people eat... Like, no one's eating chocolate out of a concrete fountain.
Yeah.
Like, that was gross. Even if someone had cleaned that, I wouldn't have eaten chocolate out of that thing. I think it was also the house in... Rush Hour 2.
Are you sure? Because I didn't read anything about that.
Well, or Rush Hour. I mean, I don't know. I'll have to check it. But it's very similar looking. One of those houses was in Rush Hour. So from there, she says, basically they blow up and she's like, don't even come to my wedding.
Yeah.
If you're going to be like this.
Yeah, Maya Rudolph just uninvites her to the wedding altogether. And then on her way home, she ends up getting into a car accident.
Because
her taillights that she didn't fix. So her car breaks down. Officer Rhodes comes and is like, basically like, you know, you hurt me, like F you. And in the midst of all of that, her trying to apologize to him and everything, Ted comes up to pick her up. It's like, hey, fuck buddy. So, yeah, she's in a bad place. This is, like, yeah, the down part of the movie. And then you cut to her watching Castaway at home crying.
Yeah.
Wilson part.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard, like, in the... Or when they were in the DVD commentary, they were saying that they were actually surprised they got the rights to that scene in the movie. They, like, they had written it into the script but thought they'd have to replace it, but... They actually got the green light to use it.
Yeah, and Megan comes with her 9 puppies that she stole from the bridal shower.
Yeah. Yep.
And she's, like, trying to, like, get her to turn her life around and fight back. And she starts, like, wrestling with her on the couch. And then it's the turning point. She realizes, like, all right, like, this is partly my doing. I need to step up and fix this shit. She bakes a carrot cake because cute.
Yeah, because of the carrot.
Because the carrot connection.
And he doesn't take
carrot
it.
Connection.
Yeah. Is that a joke?
Yeah.
And Chris O'Dowd turns her down because he has self-esteem, which is good for him. And go to the wedding.
Yeah, then it's the day of the wedding. And
it's they're getting married on a fountain? In a fountain?
Well, first she can't find Lillian, right? She can't find Maya Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we skipped a whole scene.
Yeah, so she intends on not even going to the wedding. And then Helen comes to her and is like, hey, we can't find Lillian. I need your help. And so...
They freak out and go to Chris O'Dowd and try to get his attention to, like, look her up since he's a cop and... Cops can apparently look up wherever we are at any moment in time. All they gotta do is just call that in.
Yeah.
And find out she's at her own apartment. So, yeah. But, like, that whole scene, like, the way we're describing it doesn't do the scene justice. It's really funny. Kristen Wiig has to, like, win over Chris O'Dowd because he's, like, sick of her shit. We go from there. He tells her that she's at her apartment. They go and they work through their bullshit, right?
Pretty much. They both say they're sorry. Then, you know, Maya Rudolph is like, I can't do this. Like, this, I can't do this without you. Like, this was all a mess. I wish I didn't, like, uninvite you or unask you to be the maid of honor or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you get to see her dress and it's like...
Yeah, she shows her the dress and it's like...
Entirely ruffles. Yeah. Everything is ruffled.
It was, like, ridiculous. And so... Anyways, then she's like, we're going to fix this. I got you. And yeah.
Next,
like,
scene, they fix it. Everything's fine.
They're getting married and it's happy and it's a good ending. Yeah, and so when they're, you know, trying to distract Officer Rhodes, get their attention, it's kind of like a bonding moment for Helen and Kristen Wiig's character. And they... finally bury the hatchet and become, you know, friends.
Or at least somewhat. Tolerable.
Yeah, or, yeah.
The crying scene is awesome. It's great.
Yeah.
I've never seen, like, you're in a good crier. Oh, yeah.
Why are you laughing? Or why are you smiling? Yeah. Anyways, back to the wedding. They get married. It's ridiculous. There's like a crazy waterfall and Wilson Phillips shows up. One thing I did think was interesting was there was no reception. It was just a wedding and then they were done. I mean, I guess some people do that, but...
They really jumped from like her going to rock bottom to instantly, we just want things to be better. And then it's like, oh, okay, things are perfect now.
Well, everyone's she works towards it, though. It's not like it's automatic. I mean, they have that whole scene where she works towards getting back with Officer Rhodes and then getting back with Helen and then getting back with
that. Yeah.
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, I guess.
It's structured.
It is structured. It's not out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they also show another scene where it shows, like, Helen and Annie becoming friends. She asks if she can go to Rock and Sushi with them.
Yep.
And then Rhodes comes to pick her up. He ends up being in the parking lot.
Yep, waiting for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it... What movie were they trying to get? 16 Candles? Or...
Yeah.
I think so. The 16 Candles moment.
Yeah. He's waiting out there. So cute.
And then he puts her in the back of the car.
Yeah. Which I thought was a real thing, but I guess it was a joke. It was a joke.
Well, he was like, you're under arrest for, like, littering all the stuff that she was doing to get his attention.
Well, I always heard that you can't ride in the passenger seat of a police car.
I think you can do whatever. I mean, within reason, I think. No one's going to, like...
Have you been on a ride-along?
I almost did.
Oh, why didn't you?
For a class in high school.
Why did you decline?
It was too much work. I had to organize it.
What? Doesn't the cop organize it?
No. They're like, you have to call the police department and schedule it and choose a cop. I was just like, all right, well, I don't need to do it that bad. It was optional. I did other stuff.
I always kind of wanted to do it.
But I did want to do it. It was a lot of work.
Well, anyways, that's the whole movie. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, happy ending. Everyone gets their happy ending.
Were there any other things that we didn't know that you wanted to talk about, Greg?
Not in particular. Production-wise, I do have some notes on the box office. So this was the top grossing film, or is the top grossing film for Judd Apatow's production company, is this movie. They made $169,106,725 at the box office for 2011.
Wow.
According to Box Office Mojo. And it's the highest grossing R-rated female comedy, besting Sex and the City. Really no other R-rated. It's a very specific category, I think, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... But I was doing the research, and of the top 10, all of the top 10 movies of 2011 are either sequels or movies in like a universe building kind of thing. So
what does that mean?
So for instance, Thor and Captain America came out that year. Those were in the top 10. So those are the only ones that aren't direct sequels that are in the top 10 for that year. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, a lot of movies are sequels that are at the top box office right now. So I was like, okay, let's look back how many years and see what was the first year where it was majority original movies that were written. Mm-hmm. And the earliest I could find was the year 2000. And 8 out of the 10 movies were either original stories or non-sequels to something.
Wow.
Yeah. It was... So, for instance, I'll go back to the 2011, the top 10. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Transformers Dark Side of the Moon. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. The Hangover Part 2. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Fast 5. Cars 2. Thor... Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Captain America, The First Avenger, and that's the top 10. And then 11 is The Help, 12 is Bridesmaids.
Holy
so the
shit.
Top 12, 10 out of the 12 are sequels or universe
insane.
Building. It's crazy. But then you look at every other year subsequent to, like, 2001 onwards, everything is at least 5 or 6 sequels or universe building movie like Marvel or something.
Yeah.
Or yeah, like universe building spinoff, like Hannibal was like one of
pirates.
Them. Yeah, like a pirates movie or something. So
wow.
We don't want to. It's no.
We need more original content.
Stop going to see these sequels. Yeah. Go see an original movie. There's great movies. Like I look every year, it's like, oh yeah, that was a good one from that year.
And yeah.
It's like so far down the list.
Go, please, everybody listening to this right now, go see Promising Young Woman. Find a theater that plays it or rent it on your computer or your TV, wherever.
I want to see Minari.
One of the best movies of the year, in my opinion. But we're getting off track. I have a couple of cast facts
that
we didn't cover. One of them is about John Hamm. So he was actually, before this, he was a high school drama teacher in Missouri. And Ellie Kemper, who is one of the bridesmaids, actually was his student.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then
a lot of St. Louis people.
Oh, yeah. He's always repping Cardinals and stuff.
Yeah, him and Paul Rudd and Eric Stone Street. And
Paul Rudd's from St. Louis?
Yeah, he's from Missouri.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know if St. Louis exactly, but he's from, like, Kansas, maybe. Kansas City.
Another thing that probably a lot of people have noticed is all the promotional material, like all the posters and everything, even the cover of the DVD, is not even close to the dress that they end up wearing.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like pink and stuff.
Yeah, bright pink.
And the color of the dress is purple that they wear. It's strange. The Fritz Bernese.
Oh, did you find anything on that or you just noticed that?
No, I just wanted to point it out that dresses were different than all the promotional material.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, we covered everything else that... Well, I guess Kristen Wiig was approached by Judd Apatow about making a movie starring herself back in 2006 after Knocked Up. You know, her role in Knocked Up? Yeah, yes. So he was like, hey, like, let's do a movie with you. Have you thought about it? Like, write me one and, you know, I'll make it happen. And yeah, that was back in 2016. And then this happened. He did the same thing reportedly to Steve Carell. He came up to Steve Carell and was like, hey, probably after Anchorman, if I had to guess. I don't really know that whole story, but he was probably like, hey, you're pretty funny. You want to make a movie about,
but wasn't, you know, 40-Year-Old Virgin like 2008 or 9 or something, or 07 maybe, 07 or 8.
I know, I'm just saying he did this
similar thing.
Judd
Apatow
did,
got it,
a similar thing, and that's what caused 40-Year-Old Virgin to be made.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah,
I thought you were saying after, but
oh
yeah,
no. Yeah, so that's all I got for cast facts. We basically went over everything. Do have a few would you rathers to?
Yeah. Do you want to tell them about the connection of would you rather with this movie?
Yeah. So actually, you know, this is something we want to start doing in our podcast, anyways. But when we listen to the commentary and through our research, we realized that in order for Kristen Wiig and Chris O'Dowd to get to know each other better, they played Would You Rather a lot with each other. And one of the funniest ones that they talked about that I wanted to ask you, Greg, was would you rather eat a sink full of bird shit or have a bird shit in your mouth every day for the rest of your life?
Oh, I, yeah, when they brought this up in the commentary, I was like, that's a great one.
It's a real predicament.
You know what? I know in the commentary, I think Kristen Wiig said she'd go with the sink full of bird shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the opposite. I think I could deal with every day just eating a little bit of shit.
Really?
I can't see myself finishing a a sink full of shit.
Well, we really got to get context on the sink. Like, is this a farmhouse sink, or is this like just like a bathroom sink? You know,
it's a commercial kitchen sink at a large restaurant.
If it's a bathroom sink, I think I could do it.
You could do the bath of shit.
Yeah,
a sink full of shit.
I'd pound it. I'd probably take the whole day to do it, but I don't think I can do it.
Then I'd just rather have to deal with it. My mouth.
Just have suck. A Listerine
just,
ready.
Yep, just have it ready. I'll figure out a routine.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and then the other one that was mentioned in the commentary, which I wanted to ask you, was would you rather have a tooth grow out of the side of your face or have a nipple on your nose for the rest of your life? This is a hard one for me. I can't decide.
A tooth grow out of the side of my face?
Yeah, like through your cheek. Like have a tooth that was like sideways growing out of your cheek.
Or a nipple on my nose. The nipple.
What if the nipple grew hair? Would that change your answer?
Well, no, because I just shave it or pluck it or something. That's not a big deal.
Nipple on the nose. Okay.
I don't know. Because in the tooth, you could get it pulled, right? Probably.
Let's say for argument's sake, you can't pull this tooth. It has okay, to be. Okay, then nipple. You have to just live with it.
Nipple. For sure. Nipple on the nose.
If you had asked me before coronavirus, I would have gone with nipple too. But now that we can wear masks and it's not weird, I'd just go with tooth in the cheek and wear a mask.
But you also would be covered on your nose with a mask.
If you were wearing it right.
Yeah. Like you do. Because you're a responsible
like you're supposed to
human
do.
Being. You're not
That's
an animal.
A different podcast. I want to show my nose nipple to the world. I want everyone to see my hairy nose nipple.
Wait, so you do choose nipple or you choose
tooth? I'm just
tooth?
Joking. I choose tooth through the cheek.
Okay.
I think you could explain that better. I can't explain the nipple on my nose.
There's makeup, you know. You can't exactly
you can't
cover
make up
a tooth.
Nipple. You think you can make up a nipple where you couldn't see it? It's raised. It's like a pimple.
Yeah.
You
just
can still
be like
see the
it's
bump.
A pimple. A pimple. I'll cover it up with makeup and
on the tip of your nose.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll just color in like it's like a mole or something. There's a lot of options for the nipple on the nose. There's not as many options for the tooth in the face or whatever, cheek. You didn't even say what part of the face. It could be like your forehead.
No, they said it was like a tooth growing out of your cheek. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you want to... I did make up a couple that were specifically for the movie.
Shoot them.
So, would you rather shit in a sink like Melissa McCarthy or throw up in a toilet, but someone throws up on your head?
That's an easy one. I would shit in the sink.
Really?
I would have no qualms with shitting in the sink if I do.
In front of other people.
Doesn't matter. I'd do it.
All right.
Better than getting thrown up on the back of the head. I don't know. That's just... That's always going to be worse for me.
Yeah.
So, final thoughts on the movie?
I mean, one of my top favorite. I think probably... I mean, other than a handful, it's definitely one of the best comedies of 2000s, hands down. Like, 2010s. Especially like 2010 to 2020, I would say this is probably one of the top five comedies. I can't think of another one that's, and I mean the writing, the story structure, like I didn't even go into it, but in my screenwriting class in college, we had a final and the teacher didn't tell us what the final was on. We were just supposed to come to class, which was in a theater, and he was going to show a movie and we were supposed to identify like the journey, the hero's journey, basically, in the movie. And like, we had to do it as we were watching the movie and turn it at the end of class. And that was our final. Showed up to class and the movie ended up being Bridesmaids. And I just came out and I had seen it in theaters before. And I was so stoked. I was so happy when I figured out that that was the movie. Like, he didn't even tell us until like he hit play and then the movie started. And I was like, oh yeah, I already know. Like, I got an A on that for sure. But yeah, this movie definitely is, I hold dear. And I recommend, if you haven't seen it already, even though we spoiled everything for you, definitely check it out. It's worth watching.
Yeah, I don't know. You've been living under a rock if you haven't seen this. I mean, go see it.
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed. Get in on all the jokes that we're laughing about that we can't.
Yeah, we don't give it justice. Yeah,
we're ruining it, really.
Yeah. Especially when Greg says cake baby.
Cake baby. You're cake baby.
Stop it. Please. You're embarrassing
yourself. I love how much it's a...
cringe. All right. Well, that's it for this podcast, I think, for this episode. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Epic Movie Collection. Or you can also go to our hashtag Greg and Katie's Epic Movie Collection on Instagram to see all of our posts. And we'll see you in the next episode.
See ya. Cake, baby.